Now, the federal government has blamed state governors for rising poverty levels across the federation. Now, the Minister of State for Budget and National Planning, Clem Agba, told newsmen after the Federal Executive Council meeting, this was yesterday, by the way, that because of the lack of cooperation from the state governors, Mr. Agba said governors focusing on executing bogus projects rather than improving the lives of those in the rural areas. All right. So now there was a report. This is on the 17th of November. Okay. And this is from the National Bureau of Statistics. So the NBS, National Bureau of Statistics. Let me read the title. It's a multi-dimensional poverty measure, the national measure of multi-dimensional poverty. This is very serious. Please listen to this. Now, some of the highlights of the survey reveals that 63% of persons living within Nigeria, that's about 133 million, are multi-dimensionally poor. 63%. Now, the national MPI, that's the multidimensional poverty index, right, is about 0.257, indicating that poor people in Nigeria experience just over one quarter of all possible deprivations. 65% of the poor, that's 86 million people, live in the north, while 35%, nearly 47 million, live in the south. Poverty levels across states vary significantly, with the incidence of multidimensional poverty ranging from a low of 27% in Ondo State to a high of 91% in Sokoto State. Now, over half of the population in Nigeria are multidimensionally poor and cook with dung, wood, or charcoal rather than cleaner energy. Over half of the population. Now, that means they are deprived of clean energy. It gets even more interesting. High deprivations are also apparent nationally in sanitation, in time of healthcare, food insecurity, and housing. How much are you paying for your housing? Can you afford the kind of house that people want to live in? In general, the incidence of monetary poverty is lower than the incidence of multidimensional poverty across most states in Nigeria. In Nigeria, 40.1% of people are poor, according to the multidimensional poverty index, and it is higher in rural areas, where 72% of people are poor, as compared to 42% of people in urban areas. This, once again, is from the National Bureau of Statistics. 63% of persons living in Nigeria are multidimensionally poor. Not just poor in the sense that you don't have cash in your pocket, but poor in the sense that there are certain attributes of existence that are deprived of you. Clean energy, for example, healthcare, water, security, all of those things deprived. I remember a very popular doctor on social media last year, or just after the lockdown in Nigeria. The doctor said, now a lot of Nigerians are aware that they are just one major health crisis away from bankruptcy. So, it's the federal government onto something here, that it is the state governors that are solely responsible for the poverty levels in Nigeria. If so, my question then is this: how can the state governments, the state governors, state houses of assemblies, how can they all come together and mitigate poverty? That is the question.
The views and opinions shared on this program do not represent the position of Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info, let's talk.
As always, please do turn down the volume of your radio set. Refrain from making derogatory or defamatory comments. If you didn't quite see it or hear it, do not make unsubstantiated claims. And very importantly, please do not make comments that may be seen as inciting. The numbers to call: 070-0923-0923. If you get onto social media, at Facebook and Twitter, at Nigeria Info PH is where you'll find us. 92.3, good morning. Hello, Port Harcourt.
Good morning.
Good morning, please.
My name is George.
Welcome, George.
Thank you. I think I saw the news of today, and the statistics have already shown the rate of poverty in Nigeria today. And the question you visited was, how can the governor and the assembly mitigate the rate of poverty in the various states and southern Nigerians? For me, they have a lot to do with, because we are not talking about the money in the pocket. We are talking about the necessity. It's the necessities and bad, the health sectors, our education. We are really also talking about the basic concern of every responsible government. Social security. If the government should...
Hello, George.
These promises, they have already promised that security is going to get to the direct minimum. You can see in rural communities today, rural communities suffered a lot because...
Hello, George.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Prince, it's an other George. Prince, good morning to you, please.
Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Very well. Good morning. Thank you for joining us on the conversation.
Yeah, according to Nigeria Agency, talking about poverty in rural and urban areas in Nigeria. Am I on point?
Yes, we're talking about poverty, and we're asking how governors and the state governments in particular can mitigate poverty. Forget the federal government. The federal government say the problem is coming from the governors and the governments in that area. So how can they help?
The thing is that in as much as Nigeria's constitution, there are so much complaints about the Nigeria constitution, talking about the powers over centralized in the center. Yet there are still so much that the governors can do. And most of them are not really doing what they are expected to do. When the government says that the state governors are the ones who are responsible for high poverty rate in Nigeria, I think they are partially correct. Because most of the state governors in Nigeria are just gallivanting, spending the people's money. The government did not stop them from providing necessary, providing important programs and policies for their states to ameliorate poverty in their federal states in this country. But the idea, abdicating their responsibility and trying to blame everything at the center. I'm not saying the centers are doing well, but the state governors themselves are not doing anything. So when they say they are not, they are the cause. They are partially correct.
Oh,
because in various state governments, you hardly find proper health care services or good roads. Yet, they are paying taxes. I mean, the state, the citizens of the state are paying taxes. They are still getting allocations. In fact, most of them, all their comfort is alone. Just like people be trying to educate us this period. The cost of governance alone, most of the governors can take care of these things. But they want to compete with their comfort with the president's own. They want to compete the level of routine they are doing with the rural president lose when the people are suffering. There are so many things they can do to make the poverty in various in this country. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Prince from Ada George. 93, good morning, please.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. George. My name is Clement.
Good morning, Clement.
First, I would say brilliant contributions have been coming through the radio over the years on how to solve, especially when it comes to poverty challenges. But however, Mr. Jude, the elites or the politicians, especially the governors, have actually weaponized poverty in order for them to, of course, do what they want to do, express their authorities over the people.
Weaponized,
now
you see?
We have, yeah, weaponized.
Wow.
Weaponized, Mr. Jude, yes. So that we keep looking up to them. Even if they drop small things, we will say thank you. In fact, somebody will even call to say it is better than they drop it, that if they eat it, we would have not done anything about it.
Mm.
So if they drop the small thing, let's manage it. And you see, that is where the weaponization comes in. That is the control, you know, where you don't have anything. You see, I have been to a lot of rural areas in Port Harcourt, a lot, Mr. Jude. And if you ask me, these are the areas that should be feeding the urban areas. That is because they have a vast land where they can cultivate crops and then push it to the city. And then in return, those places, business will be booming. This is December, of course, Mr. Jude. I have spent December period, October period in Bodo. I have spent the Christmas period in Harristown, you know. And if you ask me, a lot of investment are there. Now, we have heard about the poverty eradication program. Mr. Jordan, if you remember, when last we hear a state government or governor supervises programs like that, you know, from each ward. Now they are talking about employing 200,000 special advisors. What happens if we say, okay, from each ward, give us 50 persons and we want to train them, you know, on skill empowerment?
But those things, I'm sorry, Clement, because we have about a minute, and I want to sit with you, if I may, so we can both try and trash out this issue. You see, there have been so many skills acquisition programs from the government. I know there have been a lot of them in Edo State, in Bayelsa in particular, in Cross Rivers, and also in Akwa Ibom State. A lot of these governments have had, you know, skills acquisition programs. There's even a skills acquisition center in almost every geopolitical area in this country. These centers are there. NGOs also provide the same services. Come and learn how to type. Come and do all of this. But while that is good, the question still has to be made, what exactly should the governance of the state be doing? Because the federal government is saying that it is the state governments that are not ticking into their plans. And if you believe in this, what then can these people do? I have 40 seconds for you, please.
Mr. Jude, leadership, the Fed comes with a responsibility. If you see yourself as a leader, then you work with the people to achieve that goal. Now, we know that they cannot do all these things by themselves. That is why they have foot soldiers or they have a commissioners. You know, if these commissioners know their job in their various ministries, then Mr. Jude, we'll solve this problem at least by 50%.
Mm.
But we see how these people go about, you know, sip champagne or so, 500,000 naira in one night. 500,000 naira can solve a barber's problem for 10 years, if you ask me, Mr. Jude.
All right. Thank you very much, Clements. We're back after the break.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
So I have with me a press release from the 17th of November last month. That was about 3 weeks ago, and it's from the Nigerian Bureau of Statistics, the nigerianstat.gov.ng website. Just go on there and you get to have your copy of this press release. Now, it's the highlight of the 2022 Multidimensional Poverty Index, and that survey revealed that 63% of people living in Nigeria, within Nigeria, are multidimensionally poor. The MPI is 0.257, indicating that poor people in Nigeria experience just over one quarter of all possible deprivations. 65% of the poor, that's about 86 million people, live in the north, while 35%, nearly 47 million, live in the south. Poverty levels across the state vary significantly, with incidents of multidimensional poverty ranging from a low of 27% in Ondo to a high of 91% in Sokoto. That's a very staggering figure. Very staggering. Over half of the population of Nigeria are multidimensionally poor and cook with either dung, wood, or charcoal rather than clean energy. Now, high deprivations are also apparent nationally in sanitation, time of health care, food insecurity, and housing. I'm going to stop there, right, and then open the phone lines. 070-0923-0923. There are numbers to call. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and 0817-923-0009. WhatsApp and Telegram available on 0809-030-6416. 0809-030-6416. Please join us via Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH, at Nigeria Info PH. Zion is on the line. Let's get to hear from Zion this morning. Good morning to you, Zion, and welcome to Hello Port Harcourt.
Good morning to you. The federal government is right. The state governors are so lazy that they don't even have idea of the office they are holding and the responsibility and the way forward to escape their state from poverty, lack, want, and illiteracy. Every state, especially in the Niger Delta region, are super rich, natural, mentioning the resources they normally program it. But the reason they want to be into one of these offices is because they themselves too, they want to escape poverty and not to ameliorate the pain. Take my state, Bayelsa State, as a case study. 1 year is too much to employ over 50,000 youths to work. 1 year is too much. What are Hisense? Globally, what are Hisense is being sourced for in place of cutting down of trees and other mechanisms towards for global warming. Now, most of these companies that are producing wine, you see that cork, they cork the wine.
Yes.
It is water Hisense. And water Hisense is being sold international market, $120 per metric ton.
Interesting.
Bayelsa State is rich with that product. Can you have an agreement with all the youths? Give me your portion and we pay you. Do you know that these youths will go to even to the swamp, they'll be sourcing for water Hisense for you? But go here now, the water Hisense is a problem to that country. If we can export water Hisense from Bayelsa State to all those countries that are looking for this cork to cork their wine and export and sell, do you know the billions of naira Bayelsa State will make in less than 6 months? Now look at corn, which can also grow in Bayelsa. Leave oil first, so your mind should not go to oil. I am not lazy to talk about oil. Look at the corn. Today, America and Mexico are having a puzzle to import or not to export GMO corn. True or false?
And
now, if Bayelsa State can venture into corn farming, today as I'm talking to you, make a Google. Corn is being sold $300 per metric ton. By August, it was $250. Now, look at August and today now. It's being sold for $300 per metric ton. And Bayelsa State can supply over 2 million metric tons within 6 months.
So Zion, let me ask you. Now, apart from the, it's corruption and whatever, you know, the issue of poverty is very multifaceted. But this report by the MBS is a very brilliant and very direct expression of what is going on. If over 63% of persons in this country are multidimensionally poor, they're not saying they don't have money in their pocket. They are saying there are certain things that they are deprived of. And it's the state government that should do so. So how come the state governments have not been able to do so? And what
they
can be done?
They don't read, they don't think, and they lack imagination.
Are you saying this idea you just made mention live on international radio to millions of people is novel, that is not known, that they've never heard of it before?
See, when you go into this corn farming, tell me who will work there. Is it not Bayelsa and you that are jobless?
Once again, are you saying that the state governments, with all the National Assembly members or State Assembly members, representatives, deputy governors, are you saying they don't know about these things? How come these things are not implemented?
Let me repeat it to you. They don't read, they don't think, and they lack imagination. They don't know what to do. They themselves are running away from poverty. Is this people that want to solve your poverty problem? The average man, I want to be a governor, I want to be a senator. What he's thinking is not how to solve his community problem. Go to most of these communities that have representatives. How is that community? There is never no health care. Even primary school is not even functioning. Go to that community. But when you have a leader that reads, that thinks, that has ideas, my brother, we don't tire for money. Okay, look now. If you have a tripartite agreement with River State and Bayelsa State, for now, Bayelsa State, leave your seaport, leave your airport, let's use Port Harcourt. All our products should be shipped to Port Harcourt Airport and Port Harcourt Seaport, as the case may be. Who are the, going to be the drivers of those lorries? Who are those that work in the industry that will be, folding as logistics, wrapping, folding those commodities to be exported. Tell me, even when before you export them, is it not still your youth you will send abroad to go and receive those products and send them to the company? And when you come to registering and regulating your products, is it not still all this we are talking about youth, employment you are creating? I just mentioned two products. I don't want to go more than this.
All right.
Within one year, you can employ over 50,000 youths. Who are the people now that will be at the end after you bring the product? Who are going to roll the machine? Is it Oyibama that will come and drive machine? Is it George Berger? Is it not your brothers and your sisters that are jobless? And you have a wage payment of 120,000 naira per month. My brother, they don't think, they don't read, they lack imagination, and they cannot help you until we go inward, in total, shake people who have ideas. You are employing nurses, you are employing tailors, you are employing shoemakers, you are employing mechanics, you have an agreement with Innocent Moto, supply Bayelsa State 1,000 pieces of your vehicles, we want to use them for heavy duty. Who are those Innocent who are employed to come and work in their factory to be assembling these vehicles? Is it not the use from Bayelsa?
Right.
Leave football, leave entertainment, leave fashion, leave internet business, and never go all that places.
All right, thank you very much, Zion. Now, DJ from Black is asking a very interesting question and also making a statement. And let's see if we can all be on the same page and maybe have further discussions on this. The use of multidimensional poverty is grossly inaccurate because these people that are placed as poor are categorized under the United Nations model of poverty analysis. The average bus driver earns a cumulative income of just about 150,000 naira monthly. A bus conductor can earn over 100,000 naira monthly. The average market woman could make 120,000 naira monthly. These people are often categorized as unemployed and are captured under the multidimensional poverty level. DJ from Port Harcourt. All right, now, DJ, thank you very much for that statement, and I totally understand the narrative. But let me use these three categories of people that you just made mention of, all right? So the average bus driver, let's say he earns 150 and then the conductor earns 100,000, and then you talk about the average market woman who earn 120. I know some market women who sell tomatoes in Lagos who have two children in the US. They are the ones at this back then, they were the ones directly funding. It wasn't that, oh, it's family. It was the women in Balogun Market that were sending their children to school with just tomatoes. That was it. Big tomato shop. That's what they used to do. They said tin tomatoes, fresh tomatoes. That was all they did. So they make a lot of money. But if we use this word, the average, these three groups just made mention, DJ, let me ask you, if any of these persons that we just made mention of right now was to come down with a kidney challenge, a kidney failure, would they be able to survive financially now? Once again, the idea of multidimensional poverty is not that you don't have money in your pocket, but it is, once again, let me go back to the view of multidimensional poverty, that the poverty level exists in states, right, with different incidences, with people who are multidimensionally poor, who cook with wood and charcoal rather than clean energy, and have high deprivations of other necessities like sanitation, time to healthcare. These groups you just mentioned, the woman who sells tomatoes in Choba Market, if she falls seriously ill, let's say she has a liver condition or she has a heart attack, how much time would it take for her to get very good health care? Food insecurity is a big problem now. Housing is also a problem. Daniel is on the line. Daniel, good morning to you, please.
Good morning, Jude.
It's a pleasure. Welcome.
Yes. I will blame federal government. Take for instance, River State. I am calling from Abia, but let me start from River State. When Odele was the governor of River State, he built gas turbines to give River people 24-hour adequate electricity. But federal government, with what they called NEPA, had to connect it, disencourage that movement. And tell me, I know what Francis Amadi used to be, how the industry is there. That is one. Then for us as Nigerians, then Abia State, when Ojo Sokalo was governor, you see any well articulated person coming to government has something in mind. Ojo Sokalo may not be my fan. I may not be his fan, but when he came into Abia, he said every three decking, you know what I mean by three decking, that is upstairs, how much they will pay. And I believe he saw that in developed countries. And I believe it is pay as you earn, just like pay as you earn. In some civilized countries, the person that uses a limousine car don't buy the same fuel that somebody drives, okay? Pay. So what I'm trying to say is that, did you know we as Abians, where has that, which government has ever introduced that, go to Abia today? There you see people making money. You know, people, we make money, go to all over the world, make money, come to Abia, and build five decking, four decking, and all the rest of them. But there is no road. So actually, we the people and federal government, and okay, in Abia, 70 cities, it is this industrialized entrepreneurs, not government.
Okay.
Industries everywhere in Abia. Where is it today? All you see these people now do is to build hotels. So I will blame federal government and we, the ordinary Nigerians, who cannot even stand up. We are so docile to tell the government that they are not doing well and push them out of office. So Ghana Power, I mean, the blessed memory said, we will allow them to be there and we keep.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Daniel from Imogate. Now, the number of people that can afford healthcare in developed countries is very few. Forget what we see on TV and Hollywood. The cost of calling an ambulance in Massachusetts is about $1,000. People don't call the ambulance in those developed countries. Medicare is not cheap anywhere in the world. Now, that's for America. Thank you very much, DJ. Medicare is a very big issue for the developed countries, particularly for a country like America that, you know, is capitalist in operation. But if you look at the other countries that have very good healthcare system that people are trying to model or after, look at Canada, for example. Look at, I think, Cuba. Cuba has one of the best medical cares, last time I read about it. And also look at the NHS in the UK. The funding is there by the government. So on average, don't get me wrong, DJ, and I'm not saying this, I'm not trying to butter or flatter any of our American listeners or British listeners. No, if you have an emergency, you slump, for example, all right, and you are taken to the hospital, you know, there's a level of care that you will receive because of the NHS. If you need to have a surgery, obviously the NHS can't cover that for you. That's what people now have, you know, GoFundMe accounts and try and let's raise money for surgery for their old Brian here who needs a new heart, something. That's what's up. But the start of the process, the immediate care is given. But many people here don't have that. Many people don't have, you see, that's why the idea of multidimensional poverty is a big one. DJ, you raise a very great point. It may let some people pass through the cracks and then also encompass people who shouldn't be in that same bracket. But it does make sense to factor in that the notion that the money in your bank account, you know, may not be able to save you if you have a serious problem. Let's be very honest, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, as we're speaking right now, if your next door neighbor has a heart attack, boom, they rush into the hospital. Between him, all of you in that compound, would you guys be able to raise 8 million naira for the full healthcare he might need? Let's be honest. So what exactly should the states be doing to mitigate this challenge? If you want to believe what the federal government is saying, that, hey, it's the states that are at fault here. The last caller says no, he disagrees. He blames the federal government. 070-0923-0923, 070-0923-0923. Unfortunately, we are out of time, so I'm just going to read a few messages right here just before we leave. This one here says, hi, Jude, good morning. Many of the governors, if they had done the barest minimum, would have alleviated the poverty levels in their states, but they did not. And that's where we are today. With time, we will get it right. That's a bit of optimism now, isn't there? All right. Well, as always, thank you for being a part of our conversations. Thank you for those of you who called and sent in your messages. My name is Jude. Do have yourself a wonderful morning. Tomorrow is Friday.